Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Lars.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here. YouTube.com/Steven Larson and available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button or the notify button to make sure you get notifications. This is not the time for power rankings.
No.
I apologize for having that up on the thing. I got one of these Elgato stream decks I'm still figuring out because I'm a freaking grandpa. Be sure also, if you're listening to this on the iOS podcast app, consider leaving a review. If you really want to support the show, leave a review or a rating, and that really helps boost us up in the rankings and gets the show more exposure. If you take a couple seconds out and do that, that'd be huge and greatly appreciated by us. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. And today is chat trivia day, Larson, because it's our Tuesday show. Uh-huh. And today for chat trivia, the 53 patrons watching right now live on the live stream have an opportunity to win this signed Jeff Jarrett card.
Yeah.
Who's it signed by?
Jeff Jarrett. No.
No. Us. Arguably more popular figures. They're also going to be receiving, whoever wins chat trivia today receives this signed copy of today's Daily show notes.
Yeah.
Going In Raw Daily show notes. So that's very exciting.
Very much so.
Alex C. in the chat, he's getting this. He's getting a Michael Cole card and then these show notes here where I drew a picture of Baron Corbin right here saying, "You're not me.
You're not me."
So that's very exciting. If you want to help support Going In Raw, head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. All sorts of rewards, including access to chat, trivia, and the prizes we give away.
Yes.
And, of course, we're also available on prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. I got my Young Buck shirt. You got me the shirt. Man, you know what, dude? I feel like you dressed me today because I got the Jordans you gave me for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
The shirt you gave me for my birthday. Where is Bullet Club Hunter shirt, man?
I've worn it to sleep in a few times.
Really?
It's a very comfortable
shirt.
Dude,
that's a great shirt. You know, people would love to see Bullet Club Hunter shirt on you on the show.
Well, next time it's at the top of my drawer clean, then I'll consider it.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You, California. At
the time being, is buried in a drawer of wrestling shirts.
No, man, you're buried in my heart.
That's fine.
And then, yeah, so that's it. So, is there anything else I got to say?
No.
I think that's good.
Yeah, we're fine.
All right. Anyways, thanks for tuning in.
All right, see you later, everybody.
Man, I love SmackDown. Let me tell you what. I thought SmackDown was the bee's knees, man.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. I thought that, you know, sometimes I feel like with their weekly programming, WWE...
Well, it was good because whenever Kevin Owens and now Sami Zayn are the focus of the show, good things happen.
Yeah.
You know, especially when Kevin Owens.
Yeah, he totally cut me off. I was going to say something. Mm-hmm. When they're leading.
Now you know how I feel.
Oh, I don't cut you off. Now, when they're leading to a pay-per-view, I feel like sometimes they just have too much pressure on them.
Yeah.
And so they spin their wheels a bit. Now with the pressure relieved.
Well, I think right now, too, they can focus on an A story and a couple B stories, whereas for a pay-per-view, that's potentially 8 stories they have to develop in preparation for pay-per-view.
Right now
it's Owens, Sami Zayn is A story.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the like AJ, Jinder, and then the women's division. Those are the top 3 stories.
Let me ask you something. Is there anything better in wrestling right now than Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn?
No, I would say there's nothing better in wrestling, period.
There's nothing better
than Kevin
in
Owens.
Pop culture, in life, in the grand scheme of the universe right now. Than Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Kevin Owens' last two sentences he said in SmackDown was a reminder, just right there, in and of itself, why he is one of, if not my favorite wrestler in the whole industry right now.
Hug me, hold me tight.
Hug me, hold me tight. While hugging Sami Zayn and staring at Nakamura and Orton.
Yeah, I've never seen two guys. And we comment on this every once in a while. For example, the Shield's back together. Who seems happiest about that?
Yeah.
Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
You know, Seth Rollins seems very, very happy about it. And here's the thing about Seth Rollins. He's a massive star. He's a huge star. He could be doing anything.
He could be the top star in the whole company.
Exactly. So it's not like, oh, I'm happy because I'm in the A story again. No, I think he just legitimately enjoys being in the Shield again.
Yeah.
He likes being, the reunited band. Sammy and Kevin Owens, I think, are even happier that they get to take their real life friendship and be just dicks about it. Obnoxious about it on TV. They have so much fun. The only problem I could potentially see is at a certain point, very shortly, people are not going to want to boo those guys.
Oh, no.
I mean, already it's kind of at that point, but Sammy's so good at being so smarmy.
He's so obnoxious. He's so good at being obnoxious.
He's so, dude.
And we saw that when he was doing that overly analytical face stuff.
Yeah.
That it was almost too much at points.
Yeah.
But now the way he's doing it now, just like really overdoing it on his entrance, just mm-hmm. to kind of troll the fans.
Yeah.
And then just kind of be like, I'm still a good guy,
mm-hmm.
but being super obnoxious nonetheless.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much fun. It's absolutely so much fun. So I thought that being kind of the anchor of the show really helped it. And then there was a couple other high spots for me. And I will bring up the show notes. Right now, why don't you kick it off?
So Daniel,
they're
Bryan,
in Seattle. So yeah,
yeah. Daniel Bryan, he's from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So he came out to open the show to a rousing ovation.
Yeah,
and he got on the mic and said it's good to be home. He announced some matches, including a 6-woman tag match, and then he says, "I got a problem with somebody.
I got a lot of problems with you people."
He was airing some grievances, not quite Festivus time, but I guess in Seattle it might be.
Right.
And he says, based on this person's actions at Hell in a Cell and the SmackDown after, I need to talk to Sami Zayn.
Yes.
Sami Zayn comes down with his really over-the-top entrance now,
mm-hmm.
Gets in the ring, and they talk about how long they've known each other and whatnot. And Sami Zayn says, I'm still a nice guy. I'm still a good guy.
Yeah. Which is the best way of going about being a heel.
I know. Essentially he's saying, Daniel, you had the fans. They never really supported me the same way they supported you. So now I don't have that expectation that I have to be something for them.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy says, I can just be me.
Yeah.
And he says, I feel free now.
Yeah.
Which is a perfect way to describe now how he goes about his business.
any burden.
Yes. Completely free from any burden and or responsibility.
Exactly. Free of consequence. It's fantastic. And he called Daniel Bryan a housewife.
Yeah, several times.
He said, you were the guy we all looked up to because you were the guy of our generation who really broke through. And the great thing about this all is that they all do share a history on the independent scene.
Ring of Honor, yeah.
In Ring of Honor, exactly. Yeah. And so they've got all these, you can go back and see all this great stuff with these three guys in Ring of Honor and PWG and across the indie landscape. And so they're all here in the big times together. And you get this idea, even though Daniel Bryan is obviously playing, the sort of victim here, I guess, the face role, you can tell that he's probably giddy to be, if he has to be doing this, he's giddy to be doing it with these guys.
Yeah.
So I thought that was great. Kevin Owens comes down and they both sort of lay in tag team verbally.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan. And it's really, really effective stuff. Daniel Bryan ends up leaving and Kevin Owens is like, well, where are you going? And he turns around and says, I'm going to go find two guys who will punch you guys in the mouth.
Yeah.
Crowd, big pop from the crowd.
Yeah. Well, also, they both Owens and Sami Zayn called him a hypocrite,
mm-hmm.
and said, right now, Daniel Bryan, you are what you fought against. You are the authority.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was
all
big,
really good, effective stuff.
It's funny because he called him the authority, but he punctuated it by calling him a sellout.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
And Daniel Bryan was doing a great job of selling all
that. He absolutely was. You can tell when he really wants to put the other... Daniel, I'm never going to say he phones it in. Sometimes I think he understands if he's given some particularly ridiculous or bad dialogue to say, he hams it up because he understands that there's no way anybody would ever say the things that he's given to say.
Yeah.
I would never say that he phones it in because I think he legitimately enjoys doing some of the stuff that he does. Rather be wrestling.
Yeah, and I think point you're going to make there is when he's in something with either people he likes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or respects, or he thinks is good, he really gives it his
own. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Next up, we had Becky Lynch, Naomi, and Charlotte versus Tamina, Lana, and Natalia.
And Carmella was on commentary.
Yes. Lana is not getting any better.
No, that roll up towards the end on Charlotte was not sharp.
It's not, no, it's not good, man. But yeah, they need to have her stick to managing.
Yeah, it's probably the best.
Anyways, this is kind of a it was kind of a mess of a match.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when Becky Lynch and Natalya are in there, it's like, okay, they know what they're doing. But yeah, Charlotte ended up tapping out Lana in the figure eight. So that was good. It was whatever. They sort of replayed also when Natalya tried to, when Natalya did hit Charlotte in the leg with the chair.
Yeah,
they tried to replay that as well. Charlotte ended up, you know, getting the boot in before she was able to do it this time.
Yes.
So we'll see. Is there? There is no number one contender right now.
No.
For that.
No.
Okay.
But they have time. Next pay per view for SmackDown and Survivor Series.
Yeah, they have plenty of time. About a month. I wonder if they're even going to do.
Well, I mean, if the rumors are true, and Charlotte's going to be involved in the Horsewoman versus Horsewoman match, if that comes
there,
to pass.
You know what's funny, though? There hasn't really been any heat on those rumors lately, you know? So I don't know if they're actually going to be doing that.
Really not since the conclusion of the Mae Young Classic. Seems like around then.
At this point, it's kind of like you're
you got to start building up.
You got to start building to that, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. I don't know if, I mean, I don't know if they're going to go full on with the whole brand versus brand thing. I mean, they could do either a mini feud, you know, before from now until then, if they do have a brand versus brand of like Natalya fights, Alexa Bliss or something at Survivor Series. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. I don't know if they do. They'd go that far.
Yeah. Next up, we finally got our Pulp Fiction wannabe.
No, before that, something else happened. Daniel Bryan was walking backstage, and he walked up to Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Yeah,
and they said, "Well, you had any luck finding anybody that to fight us?"
And they're just they're so smarmy with it. Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan says, "Yeah, a lot of people."
Pretty much everybody he said volunteered. Everybody backstage.
Everybody volunteered to punch you in the mouth. But your opponents will be Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah, and they were not. They were kind of. Let me ask you something. How quickly do you think it's going to get to? Because I think they're going to ride the Sami Zayn Kevin Owens thing for a while.
Yeah,
they have to come up against the Usos at some point, right?
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I would think that that'd be the case. And I love the bit with the Usos tonight. I really like. We'll talk about it when we get there. But yeah. I thought it was really good. Then we had the Fashion Police in Pulp Fashion, the Pulp Fiction. Thing, the Ascension, they're stealing everything.
Yeah, man. I know.
They're stealing all the scenes now.
I know.
They're good, man. They are really good. So good. And all it makes me hope that it's going to lead to more stuff with them and more success because they're good.
The way they're just kind of casually handling this 2B reference. I mean, they even said
it's great.
This is like, the Ascension said, it's obvious it's the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, 2B? You didn't solve that one. It's obviously the Bludgeon Brothers. And, you know, they just, I love that it's so. Like meta and poking fun at itself,
of anything resembling drama.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, I don't know. It was silly. It was funny. It was. I was hoping when I heard that they were going to be filming some Pulp Fiction ish stuff. I was hoping they were going to go out and film some stuff.
I know what I mean?
I was kind of hoping for something that just wasn't one long take.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was silly. It was funny. What's his face? Fandango was the John Travolta character. What was it Vinny Vegas?
Vega. Vinny Vegas is one of Kevin Nash's characters.
I stand corrected. And what's his face? Tyler Breeze, Uma Thurman.
Yeah,
that was good. And they recreated the scene where he had to stab him.
Yeah, at the end they teased potential. Well, the Ascension said, you know, we'll help you, but you have to let us be your friends.
Yeah, what were they going to help him with again?
I don't remember. And at the end they said, all right, Fashion Four.
Yeah.
Assemble. Yeah. Sort of like a Fantastic.
They all put their hands in and then, Fandango just said, we're just going to leave now. Okay. We're going to leave. We're going to leave now. And they just left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leaving the Ascension high and dry. It's great though, man. I just love the Ascension. It's so ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
Next up we had Baron Corbin versus Sin Cara. And before the match started, Baron Corbin said what, Larson?
He said, hey.
Hey.
U.S. Open Challenge.
It's now closed.
You're not for me. It's permanently canceled.
It's not free. It's closed. Permanently. And Sin Cara's like, okay. I was like, why is Sin Cara out there then? Poor Sin Cara. He's probably waiting at a Gorilla for the Open Challenge.
But then Sin Cara proceeded to like dominate for the next 3 minutes and win by countout.
Is Baron Corbin still on punishment?
Maybe they put the belt on him, have him beat AJ, and then this week they're like, all right, just so you don't get too comfy.
Yeah.
You're going to lose by count out.
Hey, listen, we
don't
can do
this. Don't
rest
on your laurels, Baron Corbin.
He goes and looks at the match card like it's 2K18, and he's like, run in on AJ.
No.
Fight against Sin Cara.
Easy win.
Clicks on that one.
And then he talks to Road Dogg and says, oh, you didn't know?
You're going to lose by count out. Yeah. So and that's what happened. Sin Cara dominated. He kicked or he did a crossbody on the outside.
Yeah, off the ring post.
Yeah, and then Baron Corbin couldn't recover in time to get back in the ring in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Hey, you're not me. And he lost by count out. Obviously, he didn't lose the belt because Sin Cara's not carrying a belt anytime soon.
I think the belt
soon.
Was on the line.
No, really?
I think it's a non-title match.
This is a non-title match, really? I don't know, man.
Regardless, I don't know if this is going to kick off a feud between Sin Cara and Baron Corbin. I don't think so either.
No, this is, you know, next week, he's going to completely murder Sin Cara in the ring.
Yeah, probably.
That's what's going to happen. He's going to give, it's going to be like my first match in, against him at the Performance Center in 2K18 when I get squashed by him because I talk crap.
How come people just don't try to roll up Baron Corbin? It's his known weakness. Like, literally, if I were anybody, I would just try to get for roll up after roll up.
Just hit the ground, grab him by the tights, and boom, there you go. Yeah. The Usos gave an interview. I like this. Renee Young was asking him, I forget what she was asking. Oh, how did it feel?
They're firmly tweeners now.
Oh, firmly tweeners. And I love it.
Yeah.
This is what they should be. I am so on board with the Usos.
Yeah.
Again, 2 years ago, nowadays, love them.
Yeah.
My mind can be changed, can be molded based on the actions of...
Well, you keep an open mind.
Keep an open mind.
When new information comes your way, you consider it, process it.
2 years from now...
And reevaluate your position.
2 years from now, Kalisto is going to be my favorite wrestler.
Entirely possible.
Right now, he's hot trash in my mind. Oh, boy, I hate him. I just really... You know, my favorite, my best memories of Kalisto is when Braun Strowman used to ragdoll the crap out of him. That was my favorite. I also like the time he was in Elimination Chamber and he climbed to the top.
Yeah,
that was kind of cool. That was kind of cool.
He's a good wrestler.
Terrible. Hot, steaming.
He's just
trash.
His promos.
Power rank. Top promos. 5 things I hate about Kalisto.
His promos need some work. Otherwise, he's fine.
5 isn't enough. Anyways, during this Usos interview, they were interrupted by Gable and Benjamin, who proceeded to. They need to like get a mic that can like.
Yeah, you couldn't hear anything Shelton Benjamin was saying.
Like she kept on being too late with the mic on Shelton Benjamin. They had a decent flow, but she couldn't keep up with the mic.
Yeah.
And so half of it, you're just like, Shelton Benjamin just needs some like his own mic or something because I feel like that happens a lot with him.
What they need to do is Renee Young has her interview mic and then have someone boom.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Then that's taken care
of. You're done. Because this has been like several times that Shelton Benjamin has supposed to have said something and a mic hasn't been in front of his face. And so it's like, I get no sense of who you are because I literally can't hear you talk.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of annoying. Anyways,
Gable and Benjamin extend their hands at the end of the segment to shake hands with the Usos and then pull it back.
Yeah.
And then one of the Usos is upset while the other one just redirects his hands to his brother.
That was awesome.
I know.
That was great. I just loved that when they did the fake out handshake thing, Chad Gable said, think. That was great. Think. That was fantastic. Oh, man. So let's talk about the Bludgeon Brothers now.
Awful.
But
crap.
Is it entertaining?
No.
Oh,
crap.
Come on.
It's crap.
You can look and it's so funny.
I feel like Luke Harper knows it sucks whenever he talks.
Yeah, I know. I was about to say that. But Eric Rowan, I think, loves it.
Yeah.
Eric Rowan seems really, really super invested
in it.
But
this seems to be Eric Rowan's ceiling.
Yeah.
Well, Luke Harper, I feel like, could do so much more.
And that's why they have such different eyes. When you look into their eyes during this... I mean, hey, at least it had some
style.
Cinematic flair to it.
Yeah.
It had a little bit of flair.
Still kind of lame.
At the end, they both bludgeoned the GoPro they set up on the ground.
Pretty corny.
So that was cool. But Luke Harper, especially when he talks in the way, because it was only like 2 months ago when he was giving a WWE.com exclusive or a YouTube WWE exclusive where he was like, yeah, I can't wait. You know, my family's going to be out here. And, and now he's like, bludgeon. And I swear he's doing an Ultimate Warrior impression. It sounds so much like he's trying to do Warrior. He's like, we are the Bludgeon Brothers and we are about destruction and are the path of destruction.
It's not good, man.
It's terrible. but I also am kind of amused by it. It's yeah, bad. Alex C. says it exactly. Harper looks dead inside. Rowan looks fully erect. Anyways, yeah, it's terrible. What's worse, I'd still rather see them than freaking Heavy Machinery.
Really?
I can't stand Heavy Machinery. Like, I think about them in my head. I'm like, I just...
I like Otis.
Yeah, I don't want
to... Their packaging, Heavy Machinery's packaging is not good, though.
It's terrible, man.
It's too on the nose.
It's awful. I don't even like Otis, to be honest with you.
Really?
I just think he's too, like, scrappy hoss that wants to be a face. He's just trying too hard. He's trying too hard. That's my problem with it. He needs to care less. Take the Sami Zayn approach.
All right. Next, Jinder Mahal came out and delivered a promo, and as rumored, he challenged...
Great. I love this.
Yes, it was good. This he challenged good. Brock Lesnar to a match of Survivor Series.
You know what, man? I mean, I oscillate on this all the time, whether or not I'm down with this whole Jinder title thing. The dude has one of the best faces in the business. His face is so extreme.
From the beginning, he has carried himself like a champion.
He has!
I mean, the stuff creative has given him to work with, for the most part, has not been good.
Yeah, I know.
But
that's the problem.
I know.
They book him so weak.
I know. Well, that and just, you know, in terms of the general storylines, too.
It was the same thing, dude. I mean, I always liken it back to, except there's a massive difference, back when Seth Rollins was champion. But Seth Rollins was putting on the best matches every single time.
And while he was booked as a weak heel champ, his performance in the ring and his performance on the mic was enough to take the spotlight off that aspect of his character.
Yeah.
He just, like, everything he was doing while he was champ was fun, exciting, except for the finish of his matches.
Yeah, because it was always J&J Security and Kane. It was always that, and that bugged the crap out of me.
His promos were great. I'll never forget that time where he lost by DQ or something. And then the ring announcer says, but still champion, and he's outside the ring. And
yeah, that was awesome.
He does that.
Yeah.
Like, he was so invested.
Oh, it was so great. And I feel like Jinder is, too. Jinder seems to be taking it with, like, you know, he's doing everything he can with it. It's just those Singh brothers, man. They just freaking, they book those guys so that they're, like, they're always just there, and they're always interfering. And it's like, okay, well, my thing is always this. I really just want to, whoever's champion, there needs to be some legitimacy to that championship, you know? And it's like, I get that he outsmarts people or whatever you want to call it, but I don't know. I just, when he challenges Brock Lesnar, it's like, well, you haven't shown that you can really do that. You can do Brock Lesnar, you know? But
maybe it's an opportunity for him to show that he can, at least for a bit, hang with the Beast.
We'd mentioned this yesterday on the show. Two days ago because we were talking about Brock.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if they really could do so much for him and whoever takes the title off him, if they book this Brock Lesnar match, you know, you don't have to make it look like he's, you know, as dominant as Brock, but give him a chance.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Don't make it a squash match.
Agreed.
So, I don't know.
So, during the course of his promo, Jinder says he's beat everyone he needs to beat on SmackDown. So, the next challenge, the only challenge for him left is Lesnar.
Yeah.
AJ Styles takes offense to that.
Yeah.
Comes out and says, well, you haven't beaten me.
Yeah. Big pop, too, for AJ, man. People really want him to take that belt back.
So there's some back and forth between AJ and Mahal, which ends in AJ attacking Mahal, laying him out with a Pele kick.
So, I mean, this feels like they're going to do a mini program before Survivor Series.
Well, I think it's going to start before Survivor Series and then continue.
He's going to pick up after Survivor Series?
Yeah.
There's what, like 3 episodes left?
Before Survivor Series, there's almost a whole month. There's more than a month left.
So this is
November
20th or 5
or something like that. But then there's another month until Clash of Champions. I'm guessing this is going to last all through that.
Yeah, it could. That'd be good.
You can get that belt on AJ at Clash of Champions.
Yeah, maybe.
And you can carry it till Mania.
And then be something else where they just had Jinder clean out the division.
Entirely possible.
It is. It's possible at this point, man. I sort of give it 50-50 at this
point.
Yeah,
I know.
Because it's like we thought, you know, well, Randy, he was there to put Jinder over. We got that.
Yeah.
Shinsuke, we thought he was going
to
get the belt
off him. Yeah, it's still interesting to me that they had that feud happen in order to enhance Mahal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seemed like there could have been, you know, other people they could have, you know, used in that spot while saving Nakamura for, you know, another high profile feud and give him his title shots later.
Yeah.
It's still an interesting choice, but
I mean, to be honest though, at this point, it'll make the impact of whoever does beat Jinder that much more impactful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We thought Shinsuke was a given and it's not.
Assuming it's not John Cena at WrestleMania.
Yeah. That'll just be completely obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a bummer. Next up we have
after that, backstage with Daniel Bryan, he's on the phone. Jinder Mahal and the Singh brothers come in And Mahal is upset about AJ kicking him in the head and said that he wants Sunil Singh.
Is that his name?
Yeah. So make sure I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Who's the other one?
I don't remember the other one, what his name is.
How many times do they change their names?
Just the once.
What was it? What are their real names? Gurv?
Gurv and Harv.
Gurv and Harv? Was that what
it? Yeah, when they were the Bollywood boys. And then they renamed them the Singh brothers. They changed their first names too? Yeah.
That's a bummer.
So next week we'll get Sunil Singh versus AJ Styles.
I like how that was sort of just thrown on Sunil. Is he going to wear a tire?
Oh, I hope not.
I hope he just wears his entrance gear.
No, at first he was like, he was like upset about it, but then he was all
getting jazzed
it.
Up. He's like, I can't look like a jerk here, so worry about it when it gets there, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, so next up we had the big rematch from Hell in a Cell.
You know, when I said that next summer there's a good chance Bobby Roode would be in the kickoff show.
No, I don't think that's the case, dude. I really don't.
But I just don't see where this is going.
Do you think Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler are just an odd match, or is just creative? Just like, because it's finally got. I'm finally on board with your assertion from the beginning. What's Bobby Roode's motivation here?
Yeah,
why does he even care anymore? The thing is, like with these two, we say this maybe too often, but I feel like it could write itself, but it's not. There's no reason for any of this stuff. You know what I mean? I don't know. Dolph Ziggler went over with. I mean, it was what match they had was better than what we saw at Hell in a Cell.
It was fast paced. It was entertaining.
Yeah, like why they couldn't have just done that at Hell in a Cell?
I don't know.
Is beyond instead of like 8 minutes of chin lock of Evil's new chin lock.
Oh yeah, two sleeper holds from
Dude,
Dolph.
There was a ton. Yeah. I just feel like it was half sleeper hold. And Bobby Roode, I still feel like he's like, okay, so wait, you just want me to smile a lot?
Yeah, he doesn't have a character right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
And did the crowd sing along to his entrance last night? I didn't notice.
Is the crowd so down on this? I think they did.
Okay.
People always sing that song.
So I noticed when Nakamura came out that they were singing to his theme.
Yeah.
But I didn't notice with Roode if that was the case too.
I'm pretty sure they did.
But yeah, no, he just seems cast adrift with no character.
Mm-hmm.
Just this whole glorious gimmick.
Yeah. But my thing about Bobby Roode is this. The gimmick, combined with the fact that it's Bobby Roode, there will always be. For me, he was immediately guy who could be put in the main event at any time, and it'd be totally fine. Whether or not that's going to happen, I have no idea.
Well, I think the audience still needs a reason to care beyond just his theme song.
His theme song is really good. He's Bobby Roode. People care about him.
No, I care about him. I want him to succeed, but his character, I need to care whether he wins or loses. And right now, I don't.
See, I do because I understand that him winning means that he'll be like moving on to like a bigger program.
Well, I understand that in terms of the larger scheme of things, but in relation to this story. Right now, I don't care if he wins or loses.
Well,
It doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah, but I can't. My thing is this. I can't really like separate the two. I just know that the more wins he racks up, the faster we'll get done with this feud. And so that's what makes me care. You know what I mean? Like,
kayfabe is dead after all.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm like, the more if he would have won last night, I'd be like, all right, cool. That's one step closer to being done with this.
Something he would win because be like, all right, now we can all move on to something that feels more important.
At this point, I just care about that.
Instead, now Bobby Roode takes an L
because anything else is more important. That's the thing. Anything else is more important. I mean, obviously, anything else doesn't include him not being on TV. Anything else does not include like a Ty Dillinger feud, which wouldn't happen because they're both faces. But I thinking maybe they're holding that Baron Corbin U.S. title spot for Bobby. I mean, I don't see what else he could do.
I know.
You know?
He needs to be in some program where...
I mean, is Sin Cara going to turn heel and that's what's going to be next program?
I don't know.
That'd be terrible. That'd be awful.
I don't know. He just needs... They need to give him a character. Just something.
I know, man.
A little bit of depth.
I know. But I think that could also be... We've said this before. I think that could be the kind of thing where... He hops into a story, and then that figures itself out.
I hope so.
You know?
I'm not hopeful.
Yeah, man.
The way, for the most part, SmackDown's been handling NXT call-ups since WrestleMania pretty much has not been good.
Yeah. No, I know.
This next segment was great, though. Aiden English backstage singing. he comes upon two guys hanging out in the hallway.
Well, there was one female employee who was dazzled by his singing as he walked by. He expected the same reaction from these two writers or whoever they were.
One guy was on his phone.
Mm-hmm.
And
the other guy was looking at the other guy's phone.
They were like fake talking to each other.
Oh, it's totally fake talking, yeah.
And the native English was like, hey, you're not impressed by my singing? And then he says something like, well, what musical act would you be impressed by?
Yeah.
In come the new day.
Yeah.
Xavier Woods playing his trombone, Big E throwing bootios everywhere.
Yeah.
And these two guys were into it.
Oh, they were more than into it. It was like an orgy for them. Yeah. It was like euphoria, bath salts, coke, and I don't know, whatever other upper you can think of, all in one. Is bath salts an upper?
I don't know.
Or is it a hallucinogen?
It might be that. I have no idea.
All I know is it makes people eat their faces.
I would suspect it's not a downer because I don't know if someone on a downer would want to eat someone's face.
Probably not, man. So anyways, they just completely start overdoing it. Kofi shaved. He's got a clean baby face now.
Mm-hmm.
And Rusev wasn't happy about that.
Well, he comes in.
Yeah.
He says, it's Rusev Day.
Yeah. It's a good day to be happy. It's Rusev Day.
Yeah.
And then what happened at that point?
I was concentrating on Rusev, not trying to laugh.
Yeah. Anyways, they leave for some reason, and Aiden English starts singing the Rusev Day theme, and Rusev says, stop it, this is not the time.
Yeah.
That was great.
So are we going to get a New Day, Aiden English, and Rusev?
I would love that. I would think that'd be great. That'd be fantastic.
The more Rusev, the better.
Absolutely.
Which brings us to our main event, Nakamura and Orton taking on Owens and Zayn. Fun match.
No, this was a lot of fun. This is great because of heel Sami Zayn. It was fantastic. A lot of stuff going on, sort of in a normal match situation. The finish saw Kevin Owens throw Shinsuke Nakamura into the steps on the outside, gets up on the apron, distracts Lil Nate the ref, which leads to Sami Zayn, who's about to get a draping DDT from Randy Orton, who himself gets distracted. Sami Zayn gets down, Yano low blow.
Yeah.
And
Haluva kick, pinning Orton,
picks up the win. It was so much fun.
It was great. And then Owens and Zayn go up the ramp, celebrate. They go to gorilla position, met there by Daniel Bryan.
He says, look, we've got a welcoming committee.
It's like, we beat your two guys you brought out. We'll beat anybody. We're the best.
Yeah.
And then what do you think about that, Daniel? And they said, well, it doesn't matter what I think. You can talk to Shane next week when he comes back.
Shane McMahon's going to be back next week. Now,
let me ask you this. I feel like the show was like that was supposed to punctuate the show. That's supposed to be the end.
It was, and that's exactly what I was about to say.
And it ran a little short, so they showed another replay, the producer was like, okay, we have 2 minutes we need to kill. What are we going to do? Owen and Zayn get back out there and celebrate, which ran completely counter to the thing that's supposed to punctuate the show, them being like, oh, dang, Shane's be back. But it was great. It was a highlight of the show for me because they were out there, Owen's on the mic saying, we're the best. We're the best.
We're best friends.
We're best friends. I'm Kevin Owens. This is Sami Zayn, and we're best friends. They hug, and Owens screams in the mic while staring at Nakamura and Orton.
Yeah.
As the camera fades, hug me, hold me tight.
That was amazing.
Gosh darn it.
I watched everything but that last match last night on my PlayStation. This morning I loaded up Hulu and just watched the rest of it. And I watched that, and I was like, does Hulu have access to like the afterwards, like just for the live crowd, maybe?
No,
the
show.
And then
short.
I saw the copyright bug, and I was like, no, that show should have gone a little bit longer. That's what should have happened. Like that match was supposed to go about 30 seconds to a minute longer, and they sent them right back out there. They're like, we still have 30 seconds. Get out there on the mic and celebrate. But we're supposed to just get out there.
I'm happy they did because that was gold.
Oh, it was fantastic. He said, "Hold me tight." Oh, that was fantastic. That was absolutely great. Loved it. I liked SmackDown a lot last night.
That was great.
It was one of those episodes, even the bad was, even like the only bad thing I thought was sort of the women's match because there was no point to it. But like even the bad stuff, like the Bludgeon Brothers, it was just, to me, it was like, oh, good. I'm excited now that I get to talk crap about this tomorrow. There's some stuff that's just boring. That's when wrestling is at its worst. If it's boring, it fails. If it's bad, we can talk about it and at least get some entertainment value out of that.
Yeah.
So,
question time. CM Punk finds it insulting. If Tetsuya Naito and Kazuchika Okada are hanging from a cliff and you can only save one of their lives, who do you choose to save and why?
I would do this to Naito. and then I'd pull up the Rainmaker.
This is what I'd do. I'd save Naito.
Yeah.
Because Okada has taken a Shibata headbutt entire match with Suzuki and won.
There you go.
I am fully confident that Okada can find a way to get himself out of that situation.
Yeah.
I'll save Naito and the Rainmaker. He's resilient.
Okada, however, is not the man gravity forgot. But hopefully sometime next year he'll fight that guy.
Yeah. Bastard champ Alex Foster. How will Going in Raw celebrate Rusev Day? We're having a sub party today.
We're having a 182,000 sub party. And we've got our
trophy.
Our trophy. It's our sub party trophy.
Yes.
Let's see here. Next up, Drew Compton, the Empire of Filth. I got this theory, friendos. Tell me what you think. Sami Zayn's overzealous mark gimmick and subsequent on-screen absence that he's had for most of his run at SmackDown Live is a result of resisting and overanalyzing a heel turn. Please speculate.
So he's saying backstage he's been overanalyzing wrestling with this heel turn.
Is this like kayfabe or not kayfabe?
I think it's a combo of both.
Okay.
Like someone in creative said to him, hey, Sammy, like he's in character, the over-analytical Sami Zayn character, but someone from creative goes up to him and says, Sammy, we got this plan over the next couple months to turn you heel. Not going to happen for a little while yet, but just to put on your radar. And so, you know, he kind of takes himself out of action to analyze it, go over it, and make sure that's what's best for his career.
That could be. I like it. I like that as an idea.
Hopefully he had a telestrator involved.
Yeah, I really want to
get a Venn diagram.
I'm sad that you came up with that idea because
pros and cons, and then the middle. If you found enough stuff to put in the middle of that Venn diagram, then you'd be happy with it.
I really wish that idea had come from like Pro Wrestling Sheet or Cage Side Seats.
The Telestrator?
Yeah, because it would have been backstage update on Sami Zayn using a Telestrator.
Yeah. I still think you should do it. Analyze people's matches, dissect them.
Because usually,
trash.
Like, some of those guys get it right sometimes.
I know. James Rodriguez, what reunion do you think will break up first, The Shield or Sammy and Kevin Owens?
The Shield.
Yeah.
I think they're going to run with this Sammy-Kevin thing for a little while.
Until SummerSlam at least next year.
Yeah.
I think that'd be smart. Nicholas Grosskirth.
Grosskirth.
Who would you rather have as your best friend, Sami Zayn or Chris Jericho? And could we see a Zayn-Jericho feud in the future? Could, potentially.
So if I was 10 years younger and single, I'd rather have Chris Jericho as my best friend.
Why is that?
Because he's a massive rock star.
Uh-huh.
And you know who loves rock stars? The groupies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I might get a little bit of, you know, action there. Mm. But I'm a family man. Got kids. I'm going to go with Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Sami Zayn,
I feel like
too.
We have more down-to-earth conversations.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. On the other hand, at this point, Chris Jericho also has a very popular podcast. It could be best for business to be his best friend.
I'll say Sami Zayn. You say Christian.
A lot of options there.
Empire of Filth Ambassador Jason the Cabbie. So this is Braun's first feud.
Baron.
Sorry. What did I say, Braun?
Yep.
Sorry. Braun's first feud.
Baron, you said it again. So is this really Baron's first feud? Sin goddamn Cara? So much for not being buried anymore.
It's just one match.
It's going to be two matches. Next week he's going to squash Sin Cara. That's going to be... That's the thing.
That'll be it. That's what's next for Braun.
Yeah. For Braun, exactly.
Larson, sorry to interrupt you, champion Dylan Superkick Scribner. With hilarious remarks from Kevin Owens at the end of the show, hug me and hold me tight. Power rank the five best wrestlers with great comedic timing. Also, Rusev saying, not right now, to Aiden English.
I'm going to say this at number five, Enzo Amore.
Mm-hmm.
He actually has really good comedic timing. Yeah.
Kurt Angle,
yeah, but we haven't seen it lately.
I know, but this is...
Historically, of all time, I'd say Kurt Angle's up there.
Yeah.
Steve Austin's up there.
Yeah.
He has great comedic timing.
Chris Jericho.
Yeah, great comedic timing.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Owens does, too.
Seth Rollins has really good comedic timing.
Yeah, he
does. Yeah. John Cena has great... I mean, he's translated that to a successful Hollywood career.
Yes, he's broken through to Hollywood, despite what...
Roman said. Yeah. You failed. You couldn't break in.
Who's writing this stuff? Enormously successful right now.
He's in movies.
That's all of my likes, and now you're on your own.
Okay, that's fine. This is a great one. Primetime Henry Harris asks, since it's been reported by Sportskeeda that some wrestlers have been talking to Cody Rhodes about leaving WWE, Power Rank, who's been talking to Cody Rhodes? Neville is number one. Neville's number one. Obviously. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say number five, because it might not be likely, but I could see it. Dean Ambrose.
Four, Bo Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could see that, because he's got a ton of like upside. I think him more than Curtis Axel. I think Curtis Axel's probably pretty happy where he's at.
Number three.
Who's been talking to Cody Rhodes?
This could also be framed, potentially. It's not the same question. Who in WWE do we want to join Bullet Club next?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question.
Goldust.
Well, I assume he has an open invite. I don't think he needs to
call probably talks to his brother on a regular basis.
He probably does. Yeah, he probably texts him on a daily basis. Who else? You think Dolph calls up Cody? I still think if Dolph leaves, he's going to go do stand-up.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to wrestle.
Or he may wrestle. I don't think it's going to be his priority.
I mean, if he's like, man, I'm making freaking $50 a night doing stand-up, doing open mic.
He'll wrestle to supplement his stuff.
But he's also, you got to figure, he's been paid a lot of money over the years.
Yeah.
So he might have like a really big stash, I would hope.
Rusev?
You think he's calling up Cody?
Sure.
I want to get out of here. This place sucks. I don't know, man. I still say that Rusev and Lana both understand that the WWE is the best platform.
Oh, it sure is. I know. I still like the idea of Rusev and New Japan. I think that'd be great.
What faction?
Suzuki-Gun. I know Suzuki-Gun tends the job a lot, but yeah. He fits in perfectly with Suzuki-Gun.
I don't know. I don't know if he'd be happy with Lance Archer spitting at everybody.
I don't know. As long as he's not tag teaming with him.
That's disgusting.
Imagine him.
You think Davey Boy Jr. gets some collateral spit on him?
Did they walk side by side, or is Davey Boy Smith behind him?
Well, that's the big question. I don't know.
I kind of remember him being behind him.
Me too.
In which case, you know what? I'd rather be in head of him. Because if you're behind him, you can get some stuff downwind.
Side or behind, you're in bad news territory right there.
Yeah, you need to be in front.
That's not good. You definitely need to be in front. But like a good five steps in front of him, dude.
Yeah.
Can't be right behind him. Then you'd be in the back of your head, be getting hit.
Yep.
Great question, though.
Yes.
Let's see here. That quite just to give him some shout out. Daryl Takahashi, the cat, also asked the same question.
Oh, okay. Sean Holver, does Jinder Mahal need to win at Survivor Series for his title reign to seem slightly impressive? No. I mean, it's not going to happen. He's not going to win at Survivor Series. Brock Lesnar's going to win.
That's a lock.
There's only one person who's going to beat Brock Lesnar going forward, and that person's name is Roman Reigns.
No, that's right. I forgot about this. That's how they ended the Rusev thing. That's how the New Day left, is that he said it's Rusev Day, and kind of mockingly, Xavier started playing Rusev's theme on his thing, and they walked out.
Oh, that was great.
That was great. I was like, wow, he can actually play that. That's impressive.
That guy, Power Rank, who should replace Daniel Bryan as GM when he leaves?
Enzo Amore.
Dolph Ziggler.
But Dolph Ziggler in his current incarnation, so nobody gets entrances.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good idea. William Regal.
Good. Diamond Dallas Page.
Oh, that's like number one, man. How about this? Number three, Jake the Snake Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's your name?
Oof.
I'm Bobby Roode. Yeah, you. Where is catering? I'm asking about my match tonight, Jake. I really want...
We can talk about our catering.
They got any vegan crap over there? Dally has me having the vegan crap. Feel great, though.
It always cracks me up when they call him Dally.
Hey, you.
Dallas isn't his...
Dally, I know.
It's not his real first name.
And Bobby, what's that move you use for your finish? It's a glorious DDT.
You know, I invented that move.
You're changing it.
Triple H and Vince have a falling out. Triple H leaves and starts his own promotion. Which superstars from all the divisions leave with them? What did he call the promotion? And what was the fight between them about?
It's like an All Japan. Who started? When did All Japan start? No, what was it? Noah? I think Noah started something like that.
Okay.
A bunch of guys left All Japan.
Falling out is about how the NXT call has been
dead
on main roster.
What the hell are you doing with Bobby? You know I had a distinct plan for him.
Like when Asuka jobs out her first match.
Yeah, exactly. She gets squashed by Emma. Yeah.
So who does Triple H take with him, saying that he can just... Don't worry about contracts.
Well, we know...
He takes Asuka.
He takes Asuka. Kevin, Sammy, Finn, Hideo Itami, because we saw that picture with them.
Yeah.
He takes Leo Rush, probably takes Drew, Jinder.
Yeah.
Because he likes Jinder.
Aleister Black.
Aleister Black.
Seth,
of course,
yeah,
Seth. Big time Seth, yeah.
That's a really good foundation.
I mean, it's everybody. It's like, you know.
Sasha and Bailey,
yeah, yeah. Charlotte's going to stay with the old man.
Trying to think of other wrestlers that we're pretty sure are. Oh, Sheamus. Sheamus would go.
Oh, yeah. That's a stinker.
All right, one more question. Let's open some mail.
Here we go. Matt Evans, great question. New patron, too. So thank you for your support.
Yes, thank you.
What do you think about the idea of Axel and or Bo Dallas switching sides during TLC due to being left out of Miz's team? I think that something might happen with Curtis Axel.
Yeah.
I think that's a... And on top of that, you telling me the crowd isn't going to pop for him to do something.
Imagine halfway through the match, he comes out in SWAT gear.
Yeah.
Or comes with the crowd in SWAT gear. How awesome would that be?
It would never happen, but that'd be amazing.
I know.
That'd be fantastic.
And even if he gets beat up, like he gets beat up by Braun, but distracts Braun from the task at hand.
Right.
That'd be great.
Right. Yeah.
I think that'd be good. All right, let's open some mail.
Let's open some mail.
This first one here from Emilio Hernandez.
Oh, real quick, while you open this, We got another first-time patron here. His name is I'm Not Baron Corbin. He says, I was just thinking that since Stephanie McMahon appeared briefly on SmackDown after Kevin Owens attacked Vince, but has not been seen on Raw since Mania, how would you book her return to Raw to continue her role as commissioner now that she's still around and doing fine? And how would you explain her long absence? She's been busy at work.
Yeah.
But she's back because... I don't know. I feel like she's going to come back to SmackDown because of the Shane thing.
Yeah,
the Shane Vince. I think the McMahons are kind of on SmackDown now.
Trying to boost those ratings.
Or she'll come back. Something to do with Kurt Angle and Triple H. She'll come back to set up a Triple H Kurt Angle match.
Would you like to read a letter?
Wow.
Oh,
what
man.
Is that? Oh, man.
That's a Japanese wrestling magazine.
Who is this from?
Emilio Hernandez.
Just wanted to say thanks for all the content you two put out as well as the work that goes into it. It really helps the nights go by faster at my security job. That's cool. I love hearing that whenever somebody's got a job. And although I've stuck to watching pretty much only New Japan, the podcast helps with keeping up with all the WWE product. Here's some Japanese wrestling stuff. Pro Wrestling Weekly Magazine issues, some pins, and some trading cards.
La Sombra. Oh, look at this
one. Oh, man. Oh, that's so cool.
Just Carl says, Anderson. Oh, I'm taking this one home with me. Yoshi Tatsu.
Yes. Carl Anderson. Oh, those magazines look amazing.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, look at the freaking Rainmaker on Shibata right there.
Oh, there's more pins in here.
Look at this merch store right. Whoa, look at that Los Ingobernables shirt.
Yeah, man, that's cool.
Holy crap.
What we got here? Bullet Club Button.
Bullet Club Button.
Oh, L.I.J.
Oh, you can have that one. That's rad.
Thank you very much.
I forgot they do. They read things opposite of us. Oh, I'm so hyped for this.
I know. This is so cool. Thank you very much. All right. Let's open this next one.
All right.
We'll look at that later.
So this is another crate from the Wrestle...
Whoops.
ThatWrestlingClub.com.
I got it.
I can't get it. I'm going to keep looking at this magazine.
Yeah, man. That's so cool.
I want to order a mask from whatever this is.
CMLL.
Yeah.
See what we got in.
What is all this stuff?
That Wrestling Club.
What do we got this week?
That's a bag of candy.
Nice.
There's a poster.
I'll eat some candy. Ooh. What is that shirt?
It's large.
That looks cool.
Papa Shango.
That's cool.
That's cool.
It's a cool design.
Yeah, it is.
This is amazing.
Oh, man.
That is fantastic. Look at that poster. It's a 1993 Halloween Havoc.
Doink the Clown pin. Here.
That's rad.
That Wrestling Club Worldwide sticker.
Oh, cool. Right on. I love stickers.
Looks like a comic book. Killer Bees, Halloween Mass Confusion.
That's rad. Oh, look at that.
You like the comic books?
I do like the comic books.
Some sort of. Ooh, Bray Wyatt autograph.
Who did this? I want to get whoever did this to do our comic book. Hey, man. Look, man, I got myself in my own 8x10, man. I signed it too, man.
And then a little postcard.
What was a postcard? Awesome. What was a postcard?
No, it just says what's in it.
Okay.
Thank you very much. That wrestling club.
All right, you ready for trivia?
Yeah.
Trivia is the best.
Trivia is the best. And of course, after this, we'll do chat trivia.
Chat trivia. For patrons, exclusively.
Yeah.
Where's my trivia card? Oh, here they are.
Well, I'll start because I have my cards in hand. Right, I'll start with classic.
Classic.
Big events. What superstar made his WWE debut by interfering? Have we had this card before? Yeah, we've had this card before.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. I'm going to enjoy some milk duds.
You do that.
Probably going to sound terrible in the mic.
Yeah, that's going to sound real bad. Hold, please. We had this one before.
Bullet Club.
No, we haven't. Okay, are you ready?
Was the answer Mr. Perfect on that first one?
No.
Bummer.
What WWE superstar faced an imposter version of himself in a match at SummerSlam 1994?
Undertaker.
Yeah.
Classic.
You're really eating milk duds on a...
It's a bad move, right?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Big events. What city served as host of the first episode of Raw, January 1993?
New York City.
New York City.
Championships. You better hold a finger up. Who defeated Ricky the Dragon Steamboat for the Intercontinental title and went on to hold the title for more than a year?
Oh, yeah. Macho Man.
Oh, Honky Tonk Man.
Oh, crap. Oh, yeah. That was Honky Tonk Man. Classic championships. What WWE champion had to compete in two championship matches at WrestleMania 10 because of the tie at that year's Royal Rumble?
It was Bret Hart.
Yokozuna. No,
damn it. I said I knew I was wrong. Superstar bio. What WWE Hall of Famer was a feared in-ring competitor, longtime announcing partner Bobby Heenan, and president of WWE from 95 to 97?
Gorilla Monsoon. Superstar bio. What controversial superstar was known as the Loose Cannon?
Oh, that's Brian Pillman.
Very good. He also carried a gun around.
Big events. Which McMahon was in the Rock's corner for the Fatal 4-Way match for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 2000?
Oh, crap. Vince?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Turned on him.
Oh, yeah. Attitude Era. Big events. Who made Hulk Hogan tap out in their match of the 2002 King of the Ring pay-per-view?
Kurt Angle?
Yeah, very good.
Championships. Six superstars competed in the Armageddon Hell in a Cell match for the WWE Championship at Armageddon 2000. Who emerged victorious?
What was it? Hell in a Cell 2000?
Yeah, at Armageddon 2000.
Stone Cold.
Kurt Angle.
Ah, damn it. That's right. That was when Rikishi went off the top, right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Championships.
What diva made a spectacular debut in June 2003, winning a 7-diva battle royal to capture the WWE Women's Championship in her first match?
2003, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Victoria.
Gail Kim.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I think I'm
currently about to retire from GF Impact.
Superstar bio. What was the name of the tag team with members Grandmaster Sexay and Scotty Too Hotty?
Too Cool.
Yeah. Man, I'd get this right to get a tie.
Superstar bio. What unfortunate superstar was the charter member of Mr. McMahon's Kiss My Ass Club in November 2001?
Boss Man.
Regal.
Damn.
Oh, no.
Take a card.
I have to kiss Mr. McMahon's asshole. I've got to kiss him on the bum. It's that Kiss My Ass Club. Oh, yeah. I got Jackie. The guy, the gal that Vince was a freaking lech all over. He's gross. Anyways, that's it for the show. We want to say thanks for hanging out with us. Patrons, stay tuned for chat trivia. Till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.